I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this special episode of the Football Ramble in association with Villa Plus. We are currently in Menorca in a superb villa, thanks to Villa Plus. We love them.
Started out at the bottom and now we're here.
I've stayed in two villas in my life, one of which was in Johannesburg at the World Cup. This one knocks spots off that one, quite frankly. Yes. It is blooming lovely here.
And Pete, you spent most of the day today trying to blow up a giant Harry Maguire-themed pool inflatable unicorn.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even sit on it because I couldn't get the balance.
It's not Harry Maguire-themed.
It's kind of become synonymous with him over the years.
We talk about Harry Maguire, you know, obviously not being possibly the most intelligent footballer in the world, but his slabhead, his inner ear balance must be incredible. That's what must make him an amazing defender, because I spent ages blowing up a big old unicorn, put it into the pool. I couldn't stay on it.
I feel sorry for you because you put the hard yards in and you can't enjoy it for more than a second without falling off it. Yeah. And Jim's so hungover, he's not got anywhere near the pool yet.
No, I feel like I can fall off of the concept of it, though. I also feel like surely James Milner blew those up.
Yeah,
like,
he probably did.
Oh, do you reckon? Yeah,
he wasn't in the corner, in the squad. Yeah. In the squad.
Doesn't matter, though.
Although, to be fair,
yeah, exactly.
If he was asked to, he probably turned up within the hour.
Yeah.
and was there.
Jogged. Yeah.
Did
jogged.
A great job.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then served the drinks and went home.
Almost certainly did it with one exhale. There you go.
But the sun's gone behind the clouds a little bit at the moment, so it's quite nice to have a heated pool.
Yes,
it's
yes.
actually warmer in the pool than it is outside. It's lovely.
Are we crossed over into showing off territory yet?
No, massively. No. No, I don't. Yeah. We had a chef in cooking us food.
I couldn't enjoy that.
Exactly. Yeah, so exactly. I can give it the big licks, but Jim has not enjoyed any of it because he had too many drinks last night.
And if anything, Jim, if it's any consolation, you not enjoying it is making me enjoy it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knowing that in advance actually made it worse for me.
And actually, I can exclusively reveal on the show, Jim said he doesn't know how he got home last night. Apparently, you were dragged in and you said, "This isn't my house."
Well, he's right though, isn't he?
He's right, it isn't.
Weirdly, that's the first I'm hearing of this. Even though I did it.
Well, well done,
so,
Jimmy.
Yes. Well done, Jim.
Yeah, so being in Norcross, as I say, is you've got the old creative juices going, and it reminds us of times where we've visited other places in Europe for more football-y reasons rather than indulgent reasons.
Yes. We're off to watch some football a little bit later, aren't we?
Yeah
we are.
It's a Del Rey final.
But we've done a good amount of destination trips to go and watch football in cities around Europe, so we should run through them.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you some of our favourite destinations as well. And I see by the twinkle in Luke Moore's eye, he has an answer straight away. Mm.
The other eye's facing the other way. It's just how I was born.
Indeed.
Yes, I would like to bring to the table, and the metaphorical table, but the literal table as well, because we sat around one, Naples. I'll go Naples. Naples, I think, we'd be very fortunate to go to a number of different places, of course, but Naples, for me, I think, is my favourite. I think one of you are going to talk about another one of my favourites later, but we'll come on to that in a bit. For me, Naples feels like... It's weird because it's an amazing city. It's got loads going on, and we can talk about things like the beautiful food there and Vesuvius and the bay.
And the children on mopeds.
Yeah, yeah. And Pompeii, of course, which we visited as well.
Pizza.
But it feels like a city that's also almost entirely dedicated to football.
It's a one-club city, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Realistically, it's a one-club city.
Newcastle,
it's got a great combination of like loads going on, but also football's like front and centre. And it also has got a brilliant tradition, given that it's a team and a club that haven't won a huge amount of things.
Yeah.
If you go to a different city in Europe and you go on that, and that particular team there, like Bayern Munich, for example,
of course,
the history is partly bound up with the fact that they've won so much stuff. But with Naples and Napoli, of course, they have won a few bits and pieces, famously, and they have hosted a huge game in the World Cup, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But really, it's kind of a more romantic notion of a great football club more than anything else. And I don't mean that to sound patronising or disrespectful. It's got a magical quality to it that isn't necessarily bound up with trophies.
I think Maradona played for them.
It might have done,
I know what you mean by that, because they're an interesting club, Napoli, for a number of reasons. And I want to say, like, Napoli, Liverpool would be the closest thing that we would have in England for some reasons. But Liverpool have...
Won a lot.
Yeah. And have been in so many finals recently, and have a full trophy cabinet. Napoli don't have that.
Yeah.
And so, actually, they're the biggest club in southern Italy, but I would say quite a stretch.
Yeah.
You know, I think one could argue. So the fact that this club have that
mentality,
the mentality, the size of the club, the passion, and all the rest of it. It is quite remarkable because they don't have that trophy cabinet that the likes of, say, Liverpool.
It's as romantic as football gets, really, isn't it, Napoli?
And that's why Maradona is such a big figure there, because he was able to deliver them these trophies. And obviously, when we went there in April of 2018 to watch that game against Chievo, when you get there, even though it's been lots and lots of years since Maradona's played for them, and he also disappeared a bit under a cloud due to these sort of investigations about drug use and that kind of thing, he's still just front and centre. And even the kind of local players, because Naples and the surrounding areas produced a lot of good players, as James Horncastle will tell us on the continent, you know. But Maradona is still front and centre, and it's almost like, I remember the first thing you are sort of greeted with when you go into this amazing sort of bowl of a stadium. It's just banners with Diego there and Diego there and number 10 this and his face, and it made you feel a bit like he could still be playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite a long time ago now.
Yeah.
There was a guy sat in front of us who had a Maradona tattoo.
Yeah, he was, right, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, just yeah. like it's, but some, he is just everywhere.
But a lot of those fans would be too young to remember him.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will.
But I mean, realistically, in a sense, we are as well. We were very, very young when he was in his pomp, and we're still, you know, absolutely infatuated by the man, really. And I think that will transcend generations, won't it?
And it was not just because he was so good as a player, but because the circumstances around what he did at Napoli and how it relates to the World Cup in 1990, because clearly the south of Italy feels quite put upon by the north, and you know there's a dynamic there, isn't there?
They don't like each other.
Yeah, very much, and it's obviously a young country. But Naples hosted the semi-final of 1990 World Cup between Italy and Argentina.
That's right.
And as soon as Diego Maradona knew that it was going to be played in Naples, of course he was at that point a Napoli player. He was straight out there asking, I need support of the Neapolitans here.
He was on the campaign trail straight away.
He was, and he had just delivered them their second league title, and it was all bracketed up with this idea that Italy is dominated over the South, and the South, as I say, feels put upon, and Maradona really tried to tap into that. And he was greeted with banners when he walked out the tunnel saying, Diego in our hearts, Italy in our songs. And it kind of, I'm not suggesting they didn't support Italy, because of course they did, but I mean, it's a fascinating dynamic. He scored his penalty.
Having missed in the previous round against Yugoslavia.
Exactly. So, and obviously Argentina went on. But that is part of the narrative around Naples football. I remember seeing a sticker for Italia 90 at the Stadio San Paolo when we were there.
Yeah.
And again, one of the other reasons I'll bring it up is just because Maurizio Sarri's Napoli, when we went to go and see them, won a game to stay in touch in the title race in such dramatic circumstances.
Oh my goodness. It was unbelievable.
The game was awful, really, wasn't it? Mostly it was very, very drab. But because of maybe that last 2 or 3 minutes, I think that's probably the best football experience I've had in a stadium.
Well, they went 1-0 down. I forget who scored, but I think former Sunderland man Giaccarini got an assist.
He was playing.
I remember he was involved somewhere.
Yeah.
But they went 1-0 down Napoli, and then
about 15 minutes left, by the way.
Yeah, Dries Mertens missed a penalty, and they were in touch with Juventus right until the end of that title race, and it was a great show. They got 91 points.
Yes.
And lost the league, and they went on and beat Juventus 1-0 in Turin, and lost out sadly.
And that's when we saw the fireworks over the Bay of Naples.
Oh my goodness. It would have been sensational had they have won the league that season. But they scored. Milik came on and scored the 89th minute equaliser, and really it was still, they needed the win to stay in touch. And the 94th minute, Diawara, was it?
Amadou Diawara scored,
dropped to him and placed it in the corner, and it was pandemonium. And I've never supported a side for such a brief moment as much as that in my life. I was hugging an old Italian man. It was it was glorious.
They scored.
Quite conveniently. Otherwise, I could have got in trouble there. I knew it was going in.
We went for the whole range of emotions because we had such anticipation because we'd enjoyed watching Napoli play that season. They were running Juventus close. We were there. We were excited.
It was a beautiful day as well.
And it was.
A crumbling ruin of a stadium that was playing AC/DC when we turned up.
But the crumbling ruin thing is massive, isn't it? It looks how you imagine Italian football to look based solely on Football Italia, which, let's be fair, is how all of us
because it was revamped in the 1990 World Cup.
And it really looks and feels like that. It's beautiful.
We went for the full range of emotions in that game because we were so up for it, and they conceded. I mean, Napoli dominated the game. They had 76% possession and 33 shots. I looked it up earlier. And three times the amount of passes that Chievo did. And because we were so deflated when they conceded, thought, well, that's that then, because a draw at that point is not good enough for them, you know. So and then as you say, the winner
to go all that way and see them get beat 1-0 from a side who had no attacking intent, half chance counter attack, who scored. That would have killed off Napoli's title bid. Of course they didn't go on to win the title, but if you'd have witnessed that, we'd have just gone, I'm glad we saw Pompey.
And it's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic.
I didn't.
He said Pompey.
You missed Pompey, didn't you?
Yeah, Pompey or Pompey.
He said Pompey.
Okay, right.
But I also, a good measure of how much you've enjoyed a game or a goal is basically what happened to me when the winner went in.
How many strangers you've hugged?
I ended up about four rows away from where I started. And I had no idea how I got there. That reason, and also lots of other ones around, the great food there, sort of peasant themed food, very cheap quality food like pizza da Michele and all that kind of stuff. It's got to be Naples for me. Is a great place to go and watch a game. It's a great experience for a weekend, because you can't just go there and watch a game. A game's only 90 minutes long. You've got to spend some time.
And that's kind of what we're talking about this weekend. There's lots to do. Destination cities.
So Naples sort of clinches it for me, I'd say.
Strong start. Strong start. Jimmy, have you got anything to bring to the
in
table?
Your locker?
Yeah, well, I thought long and hard about this because we have been to a lot of different places, but I think actually Madrid for me is the one. I feel
that
like
Naples pits Madrid for me. Madrid is definitely an easy second for me.
It's the first capital brought.
Well, this is it actually, isn't it? Because it's an unusual quirk of football that there are very few sort of teams from capitals that are sort of like the big hitters in European football. Obviously, Madrid have cleaned up. Real Madrid, that is, have cleaned up in terms of how many Champions Leagues they won. But, you know, when Chelsea won the Champions League, they were the first team from London to win it, which seems mad. Mm-hmm. But Madrid, with two such massive and important teams in it,
played a Champions League final themselves.
Indeed.
And we saw them both play.
Yes, we did. We saw a Madrid derby. We were very lucky to go to that. And I feel like it's one of those places where it's not like Naples. It's not a football city, really, in the sense you walk around it and it isn't dominated by the club.
Yeah,
because it's a global hub. It's a very important part of the world, really.
Culturally, it's got more to offer, you would say, than Naples.
Absolutely.
No disrespect, because Naples has got one of the oldest opera houses or something like that in the world. Mm. You know, so again, that's no disrespect, but Madrid is that level, isn't it?
Absolutely, but like, you know, we always laugh about Real Madrid and how opulent and silly they can be sometimes. They are preposterous.
Yeah. We witnessed that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? I got into that stadium and I thought, I want to play for Real Madrid. I think my dream of being a footballer might be over, but maybe I'll give it another shot.
One of the things that was stunning about going and watch that Madrid derby, and I love Madrid for lots of different reasons, I'm sure we'll all come on to, is that I was sat with Pete for the, because we couldn't get tickets together, could we? So we were sat differently. I was sat with Pete and drink had been taken the night before. I don't want to make this a theme of the weekend, but drink had been taken the night before.
Oh, we're having a nice time.
Yeah,
exactly. Boomsy Brits abroad, man. You've got to represent.
It wasn't like that. And but we were really, I remember both of us, Pete, being really, not necessarily surprised, but almost overwhelmed by the noise when, I know it was a derby game, but with top level teams, you kind of think, it's a bit sanitised now.
They've seen it before.
But the fervour was very high, wasn't it, for the song they sing at the beginning, the Hala Madrid kind of thing against Atletico. And my ears were absolutely ringing after that.
It was it was a real, what was the last football match we went to see?
Sporting, wasn't it?
And I remember I quite like the sing song at the start of that, having the words on the screen and stuff like that. And it was similar in the Madrid thing. They had those big, where you'd put like a piece of card up at the start to make a big tifo. And I remember rubbing it on my face and I got covered in like black ink, not really.
You did.
It was really cheap paper, really. But it was just, and that was the other thing that me and Luke sort of noticed is gender differential. Like, there's so much more women, women in Europe go and watch football matches than there are in England. And I think that's to the discredit of the Premier League.
Madrid was also the time when, I think it was one of you guys said, that when we watched, because the game finished 1-1, didn't it?
Yes.
Griezmann scored and Pepe scored for Real Madrid, I think.
Which was great.
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. And someone said to me afterwards, I forget who it was out of you guys, that football at that level, because it was so high quality, it kind of looked a bit like a choreographed dance.
Yeah.
They're all moving in certain in unison, and it was
balls rarely
no dead weight,
pitch.
No dead weight.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I think you realise though that when you, this goes for any level of football and anything. When you go and see the live games, you obviously see something that you can't see on television. And one of the things that always strikes me is when you seeing Real Madrid play, Sergio Ramos, who has a reputation because he's got 20-odd red cards in his career, could be seen as a, you know, like Spain's John Terry or, you know, that kind of thing.
Spain's Val Kilmer.
Yeah. well, I would say Val Kilmer's America's Sergio Ramos. Or a player like Juan Fran, the Atletico Madrid fullback, who you think good, solid fullback. When you see them in the flesh, you see how comfortable they are on the ball.
Marcelo was the one for me.
Marcelo was great. You expect that from a Brazilian fullback.
No, I thought Marcelo, I went into that game thinking, don't really rate him defensively.
He was magnificent.
And after that, I was like, I rate him at everything.
Felipe Luis, following enough, Felipe Luis as well, was superb. Both left backs played like
It was Felipe Luis. Yeah, he was the one who, sorry, not Juan Fran, it was Felipe Luis, who I remember thinking was, I'd love to see an English centre and midfield player be as slick on the ball.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know?
and looking at the city itself, one thing we should point out, which I think is a real factor, and it's true about Naples as well, which we didn't mention, is for a capital city, Madrid is very cheap. I mean, if you're looking to go away with some friends to go and watch a game or whatever, which a lot of people do these days, but you know, you're not flush with cash. You know, then Madrid, I mean, we were eating very well and enjoying drinks and everything, and it was astonishingly cheap for a capital city. It's got to be the cheapest capital city I've been to in Western Europe. It's got to be.
Spain, I've been to Spain a fair few times. We've been to Barcelona together. I've been to Barcelona to go to Primavera Sound a couple of years as well. And it's just, Spain's got it right, isn't it? Spain has got it right.
Do you like the pace of life there?
Absolutely love it.
I went to my first sort of music festival in Europe this year, and I was like, everything's cheap, everyone's lovely. No, there's no aggro. There's fewer people getting out of their tree in the actual ground as well when it comes to football. Mm. And it's just a slightly better experience in my
mind. Peanuts are a big thing, aren't they?
They are.
People shell peanuts.
And seeds. And seeds.
Yes.
Seeds and peanuts,
I bought a packet of seeds at the Bernabeu. I thought, everyone's doing it, I want to get involved. And I bought the admin involved.
For a tiny amount of food.
There's a special technique. I was watching the guy next to us do it. And he put the whole seed with the shell into his mouth and he's sort of chewing it around and he's eating the seed and spitting the shell out. Mm. Could I do that? Took me the first half. The first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sacked it off after
And also
that.
The packets of peanuts, they're not shelled.
No,
like, so people like monkey nuts. Sitting there shelling peanuts, laughing at how good the football is.
I have a feeling
in the second half, peanuts are going to get a mention.
Peanuts!
But there we are. All right, quick break and then a bit more European football chat.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Football Ramble special in association with Villa Plus. We're talking about European football jaunts, and Pete Donaldson's got something big to slap on the table.
Steady. I'm going to go for... I didn't realise it was Europe, so I'm so glad I didn't bring Tokyo to the table.
Well, I would have happily brought Buenos Aires, having seen Boca and River play.
We are going
to
go for...
You have to draw the line somewhere, Peter, don't you?
Marcus, Berlin.
Oh, ooh. Our second capital city.
Well, I sort of went for, like, you know, we went probably about 5 years ago now to see Hertha Berlin play.
What an awful match it was.
It was terrible, wasn't it? I think it might be the worst match I've seen live.
You know what? That was the thing with the Napoli game. What a finish!
Yeah,
with the Madrid derby. What a spectacle!
Yeah,
that game.
The quality of football wasn't
little
good.
To take.
I think more often than not, it was the quality of defending that kind of had them wanting a little bit. Yeah. But I think with
it was
any
against
sort
Wolfsburg,
of,
was it?
Yes.
Yeah. It was Nuremberg, was it not?
Nuremberg.
Either way.
No, Hanover.
Hanover. I've definitely seen him against Wolfsburg as well.
Yeah. I think it was against Hanover. Okay, and it was they lost. Hanover won 2-0 and it wasn't great.
Berlin, the interesting thing about that experience, I remember it being quite cold.
Mm.
And I remember, I mean, this is an obvious thing to say, but perhaps it's not if people haven't been there.
Bratwurst?
But the Bratwurst are good. The stadium is absolutely massive, obviously, because they play in the Olympia Stadium, and they can't fill it.
Mm.
And so it's kind of a weird experience. and in a way, the Sao Paulo and Naples was like that as well, because it was the atmosphere was good there, but it wasn't full.
Mm.
Whereas in Berlin...
It was fuller, though, than Berlin. Berlin was particularly empty.
Well, I mean, obviously, we were staying near Potsdamer or the Reichstag. So either way, we were right slap bang in the middle. So it was actually quite hard to get back after the match itself, because it was quite late.
We walked for about an hour, didn't we?
Yeah, the transport links weren't amazing, or we just probably couldn't figure it out, to be honest, because we'd just not enjoy ourselves
too much. Too much breakfast.
Well, again, I sort of for like European breaks, the football is only 2 hours. It's only 2 hours, so you need something else. So like the quality of other things you can do in Berlin is insane.
Talk to me about your verst of choice, because people out there are going to be listening thinking, are you a bratwurst or a curryburst man?
Basic curryburst, but I like curryburst. The sweet gravy.
I love how you can join in with the local culture in Berlin by drinking beer and eating sausages.
Exactly, you're straight on it, aren't you?
What is with the tiny little rolls? So you get like a foot long sausage, and the roll... It's no bigger than the size of a small adult's fist.
I've just never thought about it.
That's exactly what I want, though. I don't want
it. But what it looks like...
Aware of the carb intake loop.
Yeah, fine. But what it looks like is they've ordered the wrong type of rolls. But it happens every time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you get a burger in a hot dog bun.
But the Olympic Stadium is a really good example of a stadium with huge... Huge historical significance back.
Yeah, of course, the Olympics
and the importance to the Third Reich, I suppose. But moving forward, obviously, Sex Pistols did
their first gig there as well.
Did they?
Yeah, I was there.
But obviously, speaking of music, obviously, Boy did some of his best work there. Iggy Pop as well. They just popped over there, not
the Olympia Stadium. We're going to record in this massive stadium.
Yeah, I just want some natural reverb.
That's
because it's a true 24-hour city, Berlin.
Mm.
And people say that about London, but it's not true about London.
Yeah.
Berlin, you any type of weekend you want to have, whether you want to go and see cultural stuff, historical stuff, you want to go partying, you want to go and watch football, it feels to me that Berlin, you can do any of that there, and it's not known for any one particular thing, which is a great asset.
Like go and see the Reichstag, the Bundestag, the Jewish Museum, the Jewish Monument stuff. It's just the Holocaust Memorial, of course, and there are just so many things to do in that place. And then once it gets to 4 a.m. go to super clubs, go to Bergen, try and get into Bergen. But I love that city because it's just got so much going for it. The hotels are cool. It's one of those places where, you know, like when you're in East London and you see some Shoreditch fair, you see some like lads and lads.
There'll be a lot of people who don't know what you mean right
well,
now.
Well, just hipster, like the hipsters taken to its the ultimate crescendo. Yeah,
the commercialised hipster.
But the commercialised hipster. But if you see the same sort of hipster in Germany, you're just like, oh, you look so cool. You're like so Berlin.
Yeah.
And I can really get on board with that sort of thing. Anybody who's ever lived in Berlin for longer than like a couple of months, I'm like, oh, tell me all about it.
And anyone who's seen you knows what you mean by that, Peter.
What do you mean?
Because you aspire to that in your fashion sense.
Nah, yeah, Pete's Shibuya.
Shibuya, I'm sure.
Shibuya is Pete hipster.
Have I made this up, or when we saw the game, was Salomon Kalou not playing?
He was playing.
He was, yes.
There we go.
They're the kind of stars on show. But the walk up to the Olympic Stadium...
It's brilliant outside with the
architecture and the pillars. It's a gorgeous stadium from the outside.
I remember being very cool to buy a Hertha hat. A Hertha hat.
But what it also is, on that note, Marcus, is it's the kind of stadium that isn't built anymore.
No.
It's like a big concrete... And the Sampa is the same. Mm. Been about to an extent.
I know, but the Olympic Stadium in Berlin has been revamped, though. It was new.
But it's a very concrete-y, brutalist kind of... I mean, it's... built before
no
Bruges,
but you've got but pillars it's quite
it's
an attractive
but it's
stadium.
A blocky thing it's a blocky
you'll never see because I guess it's a multi-purpose stadium as well, but like you'll never see another building like that, and in the same way that pretty much every legendary like building like you know San Siro and stuff like that, they it'll get rebuilt and it'll change hands and they'll have to modify the design because modern engineering techniques dictate that everything's made of glass and plastic and stuff like that, and you know, concrete just didn't come into it quite as much anymore.
Lego,
yeah. Proper Minecraft stadium. Yeah. So when those stadiums stop being used, it'll be a real, real shame because they've got so much historical importance.
I don't think they'll be stopped. They'll stop being used in Italy for a long time.
Yeah, I guess Italy don't have much money. They'll probably let it go for a bit.
In Italy, the clubs generally don't own the stadiums, do they? So it's owned by the council and that kind of stuff. So
there we are.
Yeah.
I would like to finish by bringing a big one to the table.
Okay.
Barcelona.
Yes.
Oh, another Spanish one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems so obvious, but it's obvious for a reason. Yeah. It is an extraordinary experience going to Barcelona and the Nou Camp. It's a wonderful city. It's one of those cities where anybody who goes loves it because it's got so much going on. It's a beautiful city.
Las Ramblas.
It has Las Ramblas there, yeah. as presumably that's what they call us.
Where you can buy a chicken in a cage if you want.
Yeah. Less said about their love of pets. Yeah,
let's not go into too much detail there. But it's an amazing place and one of the most talked about football clubs of all time obviously reside there. In Espanyol, in Barcelona. And actually, that is one thing. I think you mentioned this before, Luke, that you feel sorry for Espanyol when you turn up because you can be fooled into thinking that Barcelona is a one club town, and it really isn't because there's three other proud club there.
The thing that really made me feel sorry for them, the reason I said it, is because we went to it was like a Barcelona club shop, right? Yeah. And you go in there, you say, okay, this is a club shop, fine. You know, you go to the Arsenal Mega Store, you can go in, they're all the same, really. And
you waved at Jim and said you can go to the Arsenal Megastore, then waved at me.
Sports Direct.
Not Sports Direct.
Yeah. Sports Direct, you can buy a lot more. Yeah.
Have you tried buying like a Newcastle shirt?
Get a free mug.
It's actually quite hard.
You're wearing Slazenger shorts right now. I know where you got them.
We're not doing that now.
walking around and Paul Dummett laying on the floor.
Reduced to clear. In the Barcelona club shop was a tiny apologetic section for Espanyol, and it's like, give them their own shop, even if it's just a little concession stand and you sell, you know, seeds and peanuts there.
Yep.
Give them their own one. It's so demeaning for Barcelona to call them up. We've got a new club shop.
Yep.
You want a bit of it? Yeah, all right.
We really do mean a bit.
It's like a really good young tennis player being made to play tennis with his older brother's old racket.
Yeah.
It just is really patronising. It's not fair. And the one thing about the Nou Camp, which is, there's loads of things, but the thing that sticks in my mind is when you go into the Nou Camp, it's sunken into the ground, isn't it?
Yes.
So the pitch level is a few stories below ground level outside, which is how they get it so high.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
It's fascinating. And also, I think with... Remember, we were right at the back, the highest you could the highest point you could possibly be.
You get a vertigo
in Barcelona.
Jim struggled to get up there. I remember.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And we got up there, and it was and the wall behind us was only about kind of. Like
oh, it's not high enough.
It was nipple high.
Simply not high enough.
And if you'd rolled,
and that's
off
you
the
and
back,
I. Yeah, that's you and I.
Me and you, Marcus, looking over, going, I could just jump off this.
Yeah, a little stumble here, and I would be a bit worried. Anyone over 6 foot, I don't go anywhere near that back wall. You leave it to the little lads. Yeah.
but again, one of those like a really interesting stadium that you're not.
It's like watching Sensible World of Soccer. You're so high.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You can see the shape and the movement of the players.
And here's the mention for peanuts, because there was an awful amount of people eating peanuts, and I'd never seen anything like it. You know, even at Madrid, it was just incomparable.
Well, you wouldn't notice it were it not for the shelling.
This is what I mean.
It's like
the throwing the shells.
Shrapnel
everywhere.
Is everywhere.
Yeah.
But shelling and shrapnel usually mean something completely different. But in Barcelona, it's just a friendly snack.
When we went there, it's obviously a long time ago now, we didn't get to see Messi, did we?
No. He didn't play in that particular game. We saw them play. I've seen Barcelona a couple of times at Nou Camp, but they played Inter. Jose Mourinho's Inter when they won 2-0 in the group. And of course,
they would
play each other later, and Inter would beat them in the semi final over two legs. But that's
when they put the sprinklers on Mourinho.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
But again, going to Barcelona, and it was Guardiola's Barcelona at the time, playing some of the best football that I think anybody would say they've ever seen. Mm. And I can remember all of us coming away and just thinking, you get sucked into it, thinking that's how football should be played. that is the template of football. Mm. And of course, you know, as years go by, maybe one can get a bit. I'm not bored, but you want football to be mixed up a bit, and you don't want one team to just dominate and win all the time, you know. But Barcelona, you can't go there and not come away thinking, do you know what? at least some piece of me doesn't absolutely fall in love with all of that. Yeah,
it's but it's the same with the Madrid team, doesn't it?
I think it's more so with Barcelona because of the histories.
Yeah.
I think that the Mexico and club, you know, it was the fact that you could... you know, with Franco Spain and all that, the Catalan, you know, the Nou Camp was the only place that people would really speak Catalan when it was a banned language. Mm. All that kind of stuff does feed into it. And yes, sometimes they can be a little sanctimonious and whatnot, but these football fans, you know, that's to be expected. But it's an extraordinary club. And when you go there, you see the size of the stadium you go in, you have to be impressed. Yes, Madrid is the same in the terms of the grandeur and whatnot. But with Barcelona, it is that kind of more, you know, Barcelona, the empire. And Real Madrid, the empire. Barcelona was like the rebels is how it's kind of, not always like that, but on the surface level, it can be.
That also applies to the things that's bracketed up with the top of football, right? So that when you think of, say, the life cycle of this podcast, so 12 years or whatever, if someone says to you, what do you remember Barcelona for? You go tiki-taka, Guardiola, Xavi, Iniesta, Messi. Mm. With Real Madrid, you probably go Galacticos.
Yeah.
You probably go the Zidane era.
Comes to my mind.
But as anyone who's this expert in football will tell you, we've heard this on the constant time and again, like Jonathan Wilson and Andy Brassel will tell us, Real Madrid under Zidane, they won loads of stuff, but they didn't change the game. Barcelona changed the game.
That's right. Yeah.
And that is something that for a very long time, they'll be synonymous with. And if they don't become successful again in the near future, in 2030, people are going to be talking about that 08-12 era, which we were able to see a game of bang in the middle of. And that's why it's part of the reason it's so special.
I think if you go to Barcelona, and I've heard this about a club like Ajax as well, I know they're linked, but...
I can believe it,
you turn up there, it's hard to hate them. It really is hard. It can be done because it's football.
But it is hard to.
But
if you're going to watch a team sort of completely dominate, it's a much more attractive level of football.
But I remember
teams who have dominated.
If I may, but I remember you going away just wide-eyed, going, I just didn't know football could be played like that.
I think Pete and I were joined on that, given our respective backgrounds.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want a destination to go and watch a football, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Portsmouth.
It's 2 hours by train.
They're an island nation.
Sun always shines.
Please don't end this podcast with that.
But it is. I think sort of growing up, not ever having visited Spain as a youngster or visited France, we just didn't go abroad. We went to Scarborough and Filey and just went to a Haven holiday camp.
We went to Haven holiday camps as well.
And I never knew. How it's just pleasant is to have a bit of weather,
you know what I mean?
And you go to places in Spain, like Barcelona's a good example, where it was like the 9th of December, I was wearing a t-shirt on the beach, and I'm like eating seafood, I'm like, this is something good, it's only two hours on a plane, it's a bloody do, isn't it? So yeah, it's like sort of growing up and sort of realising, to be honest, this is my first time in Menorca, I was going, God, this is why people come to Menorca. Because the weather's nice, the food's bloody lovely, and there's a lot of gin sloshing around. I didn't know Menorca had a big gin thing.
There you go. Learn something new every day. Yeah. Then, Pete.
Indeed.
There we go.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for a very special edition of Going for Glold.
So the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played a game. These people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can, to reach for the sky.
Yes, it's time for Going for Glold on location, Marcus Fell. It's exciting, isn't it? James and Luke have chipped off.
Yes.
And they've been replaced by, Gareth and James. Uh-huh. Gareth and James, who won their way in to their very own Villa, thanks to Villa Plus. Have you had a good time thus far?
Yeah, fantastic. Only been here 24 hours, but it's promising so far. We're here for a week, so we're looking forward to it.
We had some lovely food, didn't we? That paella.
That's
I think the highlight will be my beautiful ice cream.
Yes, we had some very boozy ice cream. It was gin. It had gin in the sorbet. I didn't realise, Marcus, but apparently gin is very big in Menorca.
I didn't know there was gin in it, and I feel a little tipsy.
Hey! Well, it's a good job you're not playing Go for Glold, unfortunately. So we've got a mystery footballer for you guys. We, in turn, are going to be giving you the chance to guess the mystery footballer from a series of clues, provided by this week from Freddie. Thank you, Freddie, for this one. On location.
I'm concerned about this, because we often say, oh, it's not as easy as you think. Yeah. We could be showing up here.
Yeah, massively. So it is Gareth versus James. Marcus isn't getting involved, but he is providing, I'm going to say, colour commentary.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I'm like Jim Ross, and you're in the
Jim Rosenthal.
And you're like Jim Rosenthal. No, you're Robbie Savage. Right.
Yeah.
So here are the clues. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
Indeed.
I was born on the 22nd of October, 1975.
Why not have a guess? Why not have a little one?
Have a little tickle. Stop badgering them.
Stop, Chris Sutton.
Incorrect.
Love that, though.
Yeah.
Stop, Ida Goodjohnson.
Incorrect. Good. See, excellent. This is good because we're getting players that we wouldn't usually go for. Because we've all got our little mind palaces with different players in.
I'm Chelsea strikers. That's where we are at the moment.
I made 469 club appearances, scoring 8 goals.
Ooh. Stop, Sol Campbell.
Incorrect.
No.
I made 56 appearances for my country. The final appearance coming at the 2006 World Cup.
Stop, Gareth Southgate.
Incorrect.
Good, like that, though.
James coming in strong there.
Nothing popping in.
Mm. I have won La Liga 4 times and the Champions League twice.
Stop, I took Karanka.
Incorrect.
Nice, though.
Nice. Anything from the...
No. It's not been through.
James, no. James is not having to go this round. In September 2018... I was named as Egypt's national team assistant manager to Javier Aguirre.
That's a big clue. You either know or you don't.
And guess which camp I'm falling in
there's
here.
There's no guessing that one, is there?
I'm getting something from
James. James has got something.
Yeah, James.
No.
Stop. Guido Buchwald.
Incorrect. Again.
Buchwald played in the 2006 World Cup. Do me a favour.
James,
not, yeah, there's James something too in much, there.
Too much no. stress. No.
Pressure's on. No, that's why. No.
Don't worry about it. It's fine, honestly. Right. In 2010, I married the daughter of former Real president Lorenzo Sanz.
The only son-in-laws I can think of are Messi in that, but no. Mm.
It's not Messi, is
no,
it?
No, not that one.
Go on. Come on.
No, stop. Christian Carambo. No.
Incorrect.
Love that.
But
though.
Again, a name we don't hear very often going for gold. My final goal in professional football came in the 2009-2010 English League Cup in a 5-2 home win versus Peterborough.
I think I've got this. Not that I'm competing.
Stop, Julio Arca?
Incorrect. But lovely to hear. Lovely to Julio Arca.
James, it's yours to lose now.
A ramble favour.
Oh, it's not yours. It's yours to win.
Yeah.
Stop, Antonio Nunes. No.
Incorrect.
Can I go?
No, you can't go. You're not involved.
No, but have we finished? Is that the last clue?
No.
Oh, forgive me, sorry.
Get out.
He's desperate. He's desperate.
He loves it.
In the words of Patrice Evra, I love this game.
I have played alongside David Beckham,
Brazilian
Ronaldo,
sure
Zinedine Zidane, and Jason Roberts. I've played alongside David Beckham, Brazilian Ronaldo, Zinedine Zidane, and Jason Roberts.
You've no idea how smart I am now, gentlemen.
Well, we won't know until the end, Martin.
Roberts is the weird one.
No. Nothing from Gareth, nothing from James. Blank. Now this now this is the final clue, gents.
I bet I haven't even got it.
I really hope so.
Yeah. In 2009, I made a surprise switch from Sunny Madrid to Blackburn Rovers, where I finished my career, retiring in 2006.
Come on. Guess Gareth.
Michel Salgado.
Michel Salgado! Yeah!
There we go.
Gareth has done it.
Well played, Seth.
Marcus, did you have that... player in particular?
You'll never know.
Marcus. <be honest.
laughs> No, at first I thought Fernando Hierro.
Right.
But I thought not enough goals. Because he just chipped in a few. And I thought to myself, I'm pretty sure. And then when you said Blackburn, that was it.
Oh, magical. Well, guys, thank you for playing Going for Glory. We'll find some kind of prize for you guys
indeed
at some point. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
We've got some inflatables we don't want to take home. So you guys can enjoy them for the rest of the time in the villa. But have you enjoyed Going for Glory?
Absolutely, I won.
Immensely.
Round of applause.
Round of applause. Cheers. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks. It's on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played on.
Lord. How about that, eh?
Yeah.
Jim and Luke have joined us again.
I'm back again.
I can't remember. Have we ever had guests on Going for Glory?
No, I think it's the first time Jim and I have had to listen to a feature on our own show from a corridor outside the studio. So that was demeaning for us,
awkward,
wasn't it?
Wasn't
yeah,
that,
it's
that
fine.
Was a lie. I mean, Jim, we've known each other for years, but I didn't know what to say.
We were sat by the pool.
Yeah, you were sat on that. You know what you were doing.
Congratulations to Gareth.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Great performance. And he now knows, and he can tell his pals that It's not as easy as it looks once you get up there.
Yeah, well, I think it's pronounced Gareth.
Gareth, sorry. Yeah.
Well, you missed Marcus chomping at the bit to get involved.
I bet
disgusting.
He was. I bet Marcus, disgusting, as soon as he knew behavior. It, I bet he wanted to get involved, yeah. He's actually said to me earlier, we're playing another game after this, show. and Pete, you're hosting
then it. Then it's pool, then it's table tennis.
Yeah.
Then we're going to get on the unicorn and a pool and kiss.
Well, that's come on.
Well done, he's 13. We are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to this special sponsored episode of the Football Ramble by Villa Plus. Villa Plus, always adding extra hand-picked award-winning villas with private pools. Some 2019 summer holidays still available. Heated pools, pool tables, table tennis, aircon, Wi-Fi, everything you need for your holiday taken care of. Head to villaplus.com. Marvellous stuff. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Petey.
I'm off to the pool.
Oh, I'm coming.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.